We are just doing a two-week mini-series. We usually do this in August called For the World. And we're talking about how we are engaged as a church in global impact, in missions work. Last week, we got to hear from David and Stephanie Connell, who represent us in the Dominican Republic and all through Latin America and the Caribbean. And if you missed that, you can always go back and watch it online and hear what's going on with them and with their ministry. And today we get an update from another missionary that we support as a church. We give to Kevin McGee as he is in the role of Director of U.S. Engagement for Converge Worldwide in their international ministries, which is the network of churches that we belong to. And Kevin isn't just, that's not just his job. You know, that's not the only reason he's connected to us. Kevin's a really good friend. He and his wife, Ann, are good friends of Nikki and mine. And been able to build relationship over the number of years as pastors serving in our district in the Mid-Atlantic region. And I just love his heart. I love his heart for God. I love his heart for the church. I love his heart for unreached people groups is what you're going to hear about this morning. And so I want you to give Kevin a big New Hope welcome. Let's welcome to the stage.
We in social distance. Well, good morning, church.
There we go.
It is so good to be with humans. This is my first church experience since COVID hit with actual live people. So
I was talking with this friend of mine. His name is Ivan. You'll hear more about him later. And I said, but how can this beautiful vision that I'm going to unpack for you this morning, how can this happen without the churches? Because churches have kind of faded in their passion for the nations. Well, listen, your church got on board right away when I agreed to take this position. You were one of the first churches to say yes to us building this new team. It started with one. I'm here this morning to tell you we now have 9 full-time workers on my team. And as of 2 weeks from now, we'll have 5 more. And those 5 will be focused totally on deaf people around the world. So God's just doing this new thing. And you guys helped to make that happen. And so I'm just so grateful this morning for your support. A lot of you might remember you actually took a special offering a couple Christmases ago. And the money that you raised there helped me to do all kinds of travel, not only all over the country, but all over the world. And I'll tell you some of the fruit of that in a little bit. But I want to ask you to kind of remember 2 sentences this morning. Here's the first one. What I want to challenge you to do this morning is to find some people that you love and then do something God-sized together. So here at New Hope, it's very easy to find some people that are easy to love. I've done that every time I've come here, right? But here's the thing. Churches can become very insulated. You can find people you love, hang out, play kickball. You're going to play kickball tonight, I think, right? You can find some people that you love and then live a really boring life. Let's not do that. Let's find some people that we love and then let's do something God-sized together. So the God-sized thing that I think your church is being called to be a part of, because again, your church is an influential church. You might not know this. It's an influential church in this family of churches that we call Converge. Well, we collectively as Converge have adopted a very God-sized thing to do. Here it is. I'm going to say it for you once. Then I did this last time too, but I bet you all forgot. So then we're going to say it together. Okay, here's the sentence. We, Converge, we are asking God for a gospel movement among every least reached people group in our generation. So we're going to say this in 4 parts. I want you to repeat back to me, right? Call and response. I'm used to preaching in African-American churches, so help me out. Okay, ready? So I'll say it, then you say it. We are asking God for a gospel movement among every least reached people group in our generation. Does that sound like the kind of prayer that God would say yes to? See, I think it does. We're going to talk about that. In fact, for the rest of this morning, we're going to focus on just one part of that, and that's why are we focused on the least reached people? It might seem obvious to you. This is like a totally, I'm an old preacher, right? I'm way older than Tim. So this is like a totally old school outline. I've got 3 points. They all begin with P. Here's the first one. Focusing on these least reached people fits with the purpose of God. Now, let me tell you what a least reached people is. A least reached people is a group of people somewhere in the world that less than 4 out of 100 know Jesus. We have another term, we call it an unreached people. That's where less than 2 out of 100 know Jesus. Now, in your community, it's not least reached, right? people around here, they know Jesus, or at least they know his name. Some of them use it as a swear word, but it's not like they don't know who he is, right? There's one other kind of group out there all around the world. We call these an unengaged, unreached people. You see, you might not know, but there's hundreds and hundreds of groups of people, large groups of people, some of them in the millions, where there's not one follower of Jesus, not even one. And so what I want to suggest for you this morning is that it's at the very center of God's intention for your life and for my life that we care about the nations. To prove that to you, we need to open our Bibles together. I'm going to just quote a bunch of verses for you. I don't expect you to like get out your phone and catch up with me, because most of you read the Bible on your phone. But when John, who was Jesus' really dear friend, got to see into time, you know, and see into heaven, this is what he saw. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. Here it is. People from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne in front of Jesus, and they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. What John saw, and these are phrases that repeat many times in the scriptures, he saw people from every political group, that's a nation, from every family group. We talk about like the tribes of Israel, right? Every tribe, every people in our English means every cultural group and every language group. So I mentioned deaf people. Did you know there's over 400 different sign languages that we know of? And I'm sure that there's more than that. A lot of people think deaf people just can't hear. No. Deaf people have their own language. They have their own culture. And all around the world, there's deaf people who have never once had anybody talk to them with their hands about Jesus. We got to fix that, friends. See, this was God's purpose at the very beginning. Okay, Adam and Eve, they kind of messed up. We all know that. Shortly thereafter, it wasn't long when God put his hand on a guy named Abram, changed his name to Abraham. That means father of the nations, father of the peoples. And to Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, leave your country, leave your people and your father's household, go to the land I will show you. He made some other promises to him, and then he said this. God said, and all the peoples, or literally all the people groups of the earth will be blessed through you. You see, from the beginning of God calling a people to himself, just like he's called New Hope to be a people set aside here in this community to reach this community, when God called Abraham, he said, look, we're going to go after everybody. God, through his people, particularly through his son Jesus, we're going after the whole thing. In every place on this earth, I want my name, my son, and my glory to be known. That's been God's purpose since the very beginning. I had breakfast with Dave Connell. Well, actually, he had breakfast. I didn't, because I only eat a banana before I preach. So anyway, I sat with Dave while he ate his breakfast this morning, and he said he told you about Matthew 24:14 last week. Missionary people, we love this verse. We want you to love this verse too. It's when Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom has to be preached to the whole world, you know the rest of it, as a testimony to all the nations, literally in the Greek, all the people groups, panta ethne, all the people groups. The gospel has to go to all the peoples, and then what will happen? Then the end will come. Jesus will come back. Have you taken note of what happens when Jesus comes back? There will be no more tears or death or crying or pain. In the midst of the racial unrest that we're living in the midst of the pandemic that we're living in, that sounds awfully good to me. Again, I'm an old pastor. I've done over 100 weddings, but I've done over 200 funerals. Do you know, someday, some pastor is going to do the last funeral and death will be no more. Like, I'm ready for that, because I've buried children and old people and everybody in between. Someday that's not going to happen anymore. Let's get that done, huh? So I know you know this verse. Go and make disciples of what? All the nations. It doesn't say a few of the nations. It doesn't say America. It doesn't say some of the nations or even a whole bunch of nations. It says all the nations. Now, I'm blessed with a pretty senior leadership role with our mission, and so I get to represent Converge. It's some pretty cool stuff. And so over the last couple of years, I've gotten to be a part of an organization called Finishing the Task. Finishing the Task is an organization of all the major mission organizations of the world, pretty much all of them participate. It's now headquartered out at Saddleback Church, where Rick Warren is the pastor. Some of you know of him. I got to speak there last year. You made that possible with your gifts and your support and your prayers. I got to be a part of all of that. The Finishing the Task organization, in partnership with a bunch of others, has developed a list of every people group on the earth. Now, it's not perfectly accurate, and we're going to keep growing it, and we got to help them a bit with the deaf stuff. But basically, we've got a list now. And there's researchers that have gone out, and they've tried to figure out, well, which one of these places have Jesus followers and which ones don't. But what I want you to know this morning is we've got the list largely figured out, and here's what I believe. I believe within the next 5 to maybe 10 years, next handful of years, there will no longer be a single unengaged, unreached people group. That every people group on the earth for the first time in history will have somebody telling them about Jesus. Now, that should get you excited. We like to call this the end of the beginning. It doesn't mean that everybody that God wants to know him will know him yet, but at least we're getting a whole lot closer. It's fine. The finish line, I think, is in sight, and there's a whole bunch of deaf people standing there. But at least we can see it. For the first time, we've kind of rounded the last corner, and we're on the home stretch, and we can see it. You might not know this, but there's more people alive today than have ever lived before. I think that's because for the first time in history, the gospel can finally go to the whole world. Don't have time to unpack all those numbers for you, but there's a bunch of young people out here. Hey, young people, I define you as anybody under 64 years old, because I turned 64 in 2 weeks. So all you young people out there, if you're over 64, I got a job for you later. Okay, but anyway, no matter what your age, we could be the last generation that lives with sin and death. Could we make that a goal? Like, let's make it a goal to be the last generation, because Jesus said if we preach the gospel, what, to all the nations, then what? He comes back. Let's get it done. Okay, so point number one, if I could have, I'd have had you all have outlines. Point number one, what New Hope has been called to as you support work around the world is a fulfillment of God's divine intention from the very, very beginning. Sorry, mate. The wind blew my notes here. Let me tell you a story. I promised Tim stories. So, like, let me do this. There, that's my bookmark. I bet most of you can't find Macedonia on the map. The former Yugoslavia was broken into a bunch of countries, and one of them is Macedonia. Any geography teachers out there? Okay, so there's this little country called Macedonia. Macedonia is right next door to another country called Albania. Albania is a mostly Muslim country, and a lot of refugees from there went down into Macedonia. And guess what? They don't know Jesus. So Converge has sent global workers. We call them global workers now, not missionaries, by the way, because the word missionary can get you killed too many places. So we sent global workers to Macedonia. Now, this is where it just gets so cool. So you guys at New Hope, you helped support Kevin, right? So Kevin takes this new job with Converge. Kevin's daughter, my youngest, she works for the Tim Tebow Foundation. Okay, that's going to be an important fact. Okay, so our folks, they land in Macedonia. They land in this town, and right across the street from where they meet is a school for children with special needs. My daughter works for the Tim Tebow Foundation. They do this thing for kids with special needs. So because I'm dad, friend, I put them together. The Tebow Foundation gives a grant to the people, Converge Global Workers and Missionary. They host a thing called Night to Shine. Hundreds of families of children with special needs come to this thing, including the family of the local imam and the local mayor. And those folks get to hear about Jesus for the first time. So you help make that possible. It's God's purpose. It's his intention for people in every place to know of how much he loves them, whether they our families with children of special needs who often in most cultures are treated very badly. It doesn't matter. God loves every single one of them, and we get to be a part of fulfilling the purposes and the plans of God. My boss, Ivan, is his name, Ivan Veldhuis, and he likes to say that the Great Commission stops being great when you take the nations out of it. See, you might have never thought of this before, but you could disciple, your church could grow to disciple every single person in Ohio and still be disobedient. Bet nobody's ever said that to you before, right? A lot of times, Tim experiences this all the time. We pastors, we find out, how big is your church? Well, my church, that's the thing he lives with everywhere you go, right? Because there's these pastors of churches with 10 or 15,000. We're measuring the wrong thing sometimes. Because Jesus didn't just say, go make disciples of all the people. He said of all the people groups. One of the things that you can feel great about your church is that you have begun to engage the nations through the Connells, through the U.S. engagement team of Converge. We're starting to touch places all over the world together. You're really a partner in this. By the time I'm done, I hope you'll become an even stronger partner in this. Okay, so one more verse and then we'll move on. You know this one too. Jesus, just before he left, said, "And you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you," right? Acts 1:8. And then what will happen? "You will be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth." Again, to all the peoples. I think the most important word in that verse is "and." It's not "and then." It's not like you reach Worcester, and then you reach Wayne County, and then you reach Cleveland, or whatever's next. And then it's not like that. It's all three at the same time. So strong churches, here's what they do. They think about, we're going to reach here, and we're going to reach near, and we're going to reach far. And your church has begun to do that. So be excited about that. You're reaching your neighborhood. Go get them, even if you have to do it online. You're reaching your community, your greater community. Go get them, even if you have to do it online, standing on top of a high school. Like, that was awesome, you know? You do whatever you got to do to get it done, but do that for the nations as well. Okay, so this aligns with the purpose of God. Number two, it aligns with the passion of God. That is, with his heart. See, have you noticed that God has a heart for lost people? He had a heart for me when I was lost. God loves lost people. Now, there's lots of places we could look in the Bible for this, but in Luke chapter 15, remember the story that Jesus told about how the shepherd would leave the 99 to go find the one. These guys sing a great song about it. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go to the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and you know, brings it home. In the church I grew up in, a Methodist church in Western Pennsylvania, they had this stained glass of Jesus with the little lamb around his shoulders. You know, the heart of God is for people that are lost. And there's so many places in the world where people are so lost. You know, America's kind of a mess right now. But aren't we still kind of glad that we're here and not a lot of other places? Because the name of Jesus has been known here. Converge lost one of our wonderful missionaries a couple of weeks ago. Her name was Linda Oatley, and she's with Jesus now. She dedicated almost 30 years of her life to the slum kids of Brazil. You know, when I got to the hotel last night, by the way, I got here late. You know, I always know when God's up to something, because the devil usually fights back. So my plane had a dent in it and a 2-hour delay and blah, blah, blah. You know, I didn't get to have dinner with Tim and Nikki. The devil was trying to keep me from being here, so to keep you from hearing this, but here we are. So anyway, when I went down to breakfast this morning, they're apologetic. We can't serve you like the real breakfast because of COVID and stuff, so we only have this stuff. Hey, they had bananas and Pop-Tarts. How bad is that? Cinnamon sugar Pop-Tarts, I might point out. Okay, and we think, oh, that's a lousy breakfast. The kids that Linda was serving for her whole life, they would go to the garbage dump to find their breakfast. If you have not traveled extensively around the world, you don't know just how bad it is in places where Jesus is not known. Before I was a pastor, I was a naval officer. In fact, I like to say that I'm the least nice missionary you will ever meet, because I trained my whole life for war. But this is a different kind of war. When I got off the ship in Thailand for the first time, I could feel the darkness. You know, Thailand is one of the most beautiful places on the earth. I mean, it is just breathtakingly beautiful, but you can feel the darkness there. They sell their children there. Pedophiles from all over the world go there. Let that break your heart. It breaks the heart of God that there's still so many places around the world where Jesus' name is not known. And when there is no presence of Jesus, where there is only darkness, the natural state of the human heart tends towards violence and selfishness and exploitation. Linda lived her whole life for children that other people didn't care about at all. So this idea of prioritizing going to places where God's name isn't known, it aligns very much with the passion or the heart of God. You see, there's another element of God's heart that you've been talking about here at New Hope lately. I know you had Pastor Rod Hairston come and talk with you. You see, God has a heart for justice. And it's just not fair that so many people have never heard of Jesus. It's just not right when we could tell them if we just get serious about it. When Jesus came and he announced his ministry, the very first thing he said is, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news, not to the affluent, but to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's Luke 4, verse 18. In Matthew 12, he said, "Behold, my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased." Listen to this part. "I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the unbelievers, to the Gentiles." Jesus came with a heart for lost people. He came with a heart for justice. And while we hear, I saw lots of nods when I said, "Boy, I wish death was no more." When we are here, we're eagerly awaiting the second coming of Jesus, but more than a quarter of the world didn't know he came the first time. They still have no idea that God loves them and sent his son to die in their place. They have no church, no Bible, and no chance to respond to the God who loves them. Let this number haunt you. I think I told it to you when I was here a year or more ago. Today, 70,000 people will die having never once heard the name of Jesus. That's a big number. 70,000 people will die never once hearing the name of Jesus. I want to connect some dots for you this morning. Again, one of these stories. So Pastor Rod was with you. We see the racial injustice in America. My last sermon was about systemic racism in America, but I had to do it online. I'm so glad to see your faces. Okay, let me connect the dots between that and what God's up to around the world. See, Converge's largest team right now is in two little countries that, again, are pretty hard to find on the map, Togo and Benin. Togo and Benin, if you take the bump on the side of Africa, it's kind of on the middle of that bump down on the bottom. And what you might not know about Togo and Benin is it was sort of the ground zero for the slave trade. If you have African-American friends, brothers and sisters, many, many, many of them, when they do their Ancestry.com type thing, will find out that they are direct descendants of people from Togo and Benin. I have a really good friend, Tim and I do, Elwood Jones. That's where his family came from originally when they were sold into slavery. Okay, so Converge has its largest team in this very dark place. Now, again, let me paint a picture for you because we can't use slides. You know how kids wait sometimes at school bus stops that keep them out of the snow, those little kind of pavilion-like things? Well, imagine something that looks kind of like that but built out of concrete mud sort of combination. And when you look inside this little tiny sort of dark structure, what you see in there are snakes. In fact, not just any kind of snakes, but pythons. Now, I used to have a pet boa constrictor, but this is different. Okay, in this spot, in the capital of Benin, this small country, they have been worshiping snakes there for more than 500 years, in that exact spot. Demonically inspired, there is so much darkness in that spot that started more than 500 years ago. You know what else started 500 years ago? Africans started to sell their brothers and sisters into slavery, and they were taken first to Latin America, what we now call Latin America, by the Spanish, and then later by Western Europeans to here in what we now call America. The demonic darkness of that place has been going on for 500 years. And now this family of churches that you're a part of says, enough is enough. We have planted one of our strongest teams there to say it's time to turn back the darkness. It's time for the people in that place where slavery was born to know Jesus and to finally be free. And not just physically free, no more slaves because people are still sold there, but actually free. You see, it's the heart of voodoo that went from there to Haiti. It's the heart of voodoo that went from there to like Louisiana and places all around the world. And it's still practiced there today. Human sacrifice still happens there today. All kinds of things that are so dark still happen there today. But we have Converged are saying no more. It's time for the people of Jesus to rise up and see them come to freedom in Christ. You see, friends, that's justice. The greatest injustice in the world today is that so many people will be born and live and then die and never hear a credible presentation of the gospel. So let me, before I close, share with you what we're up to. Not just in that place, that's one, but in 20 different places around the world between now and 2026. This family of churches that you guys have a key role in is going to launch 20 new regional initiatives, and we hope to have them fully staffed and fully funded by 2026. That will never happen without my team. And I have this great team now that's helping to make that happen. We have 15 of those places identified, 15 leaders already identified, 15 leaders already deploying to these different places around the world. By God's grace, we expect to have deaf ministry work in every one of those. You know, that's a particularly, you know, exciting thing to me. And you guys are already a part of that by what you're supporting through the U.S. engagement team. But we can do more. Let me just tell you one other cool story. How many of you think you could find Slovenia on the map? Yeah, me too. I had to look. Who's the most famous Slovenian? Maybe some of you will know this. She was on TV the other night. First Lady Melania Trump is from Slovenia. Someone in the front row got the right answer. Okay, so Slovenia is also famous for beekeeping. I bet you knew that. One of my teammates told me that. Okay, so this little country kind of tucked next to Italy, kind of going that way. Okay, there's deaf people there. And we now have verified, as best that we can verify, out of the thousands of deaf people in Slovenia, not one knows Jesus. But this fall, if the borders open, we'll be sending a team from two large churches in California, not even Converge churches, along with some Converge coaches, to start the work among the deaf of Slovenia for the first time in history, that the deaf people of Slovenia might be reached. We get to be a part of this press to the finish line to see people from every nation, tongue, and tribe, every language group, whether it's language that we speak or language that we sign, we get to be a part of seeing them come to know Jesus. So I have one final thing. So it fits with the purposes of God. It fits with the passions of God. It also then leads to the praise of God. You guys praise God better than most. I mean, you guys have a wonderfully awesome worship team. When we get to heaven, even I'll be able to sing. I'm not sure which language. But in Revelation 5 and verse 9, it says, "You are worthy to take the scroll," speaking of Jesus, "and to open its seals. With your blood you have purchased men for God from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation." Friends, I believe that day is right around the corner. So I have one more story before I close. There's a new Converge missionary. His name is Ryan O'Leary. What would you guess his ethnic background is? I hear one Irish. Any votes for Scottish? He's Native American. It's a trick question. His grandfather was Irish, but he's mostly Native American, and he's brilliant, and he's a great leader. And he's worked in the Ojibwa tribe in northern Minnesota as one of their tribal leaders, and he's already got one doctorate, and he's about to get another, and he's just a great leader. And he's a new Converge missionary, and he's going to lead our initiative to reach a group of people in Latin America called the Quechua people. They're the Native Americans of Latin America. They live in the Andes Mountains, many of them up 10, 15,000 feet above sea level in these very difficult places to get to. I don't know if you've ever hiked above 10,000 feet, but I tried that once. Whew, that's tough. Okay, so here's what Ryan wants to do. Ryan wants to mobilize the Native American church in North America to reach the Native Americans of South America. How cool is that? We get to be a part of that too. But listen, those people, just like the people in Togo, have been living in darkness for generation after generation after generation. Do you think the devil's going to give that ground back easy? He's not. What do you think Ryan's team is going to need from people like you and me? I think he's going to need help. I think he's going to need us to pray for him. Perhaps support him financially or support his teammates as he recruits them. Because Native Americans, just like deaf people, they don't have the economic power of white people, right? So congregations like ours can help support missionaries like that. We can help make that happen. So the people who've never once heard the name of Jesus before can not only know him, but can follow him and send their own people forth There's a prayer in Psalm 67. I have it written on my whiteboard, and I want to use it to bring this thing in for a landing. In Psalm 67, it says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, that your salvation would be known among all the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you." That's just kind of the converged prayer. Because we're asking God for what? A gospel movement among every least reached people group in our generation. So as I close, I want to challenge you in a couple of ways. You see, my boss has taught me a lot of things. One of the things he taught me is that in every church, somewhere between 1 and 4% of the people that are there have every spiritual gift and the experience to be a global worker. Okay, so if there's like 100 people here today, and I'm sure more than that online, that means somebody's being called to go. Maybe two or three or four of you. I spoke this same message at my church, and the leader of our children's ministry and one of our elders who are married to each other was like, "We got to go." So there are new leaders for the Spice Islands in Indonesia. New Hope. Who's being called to go? Now, see, remember when I mentioned those of you who are over 64? Did you know that if you're over 55, so that's a whole bunch more of us, you can go to Indonesia and you don't even have to get a special visa. They want Americans to come there over 55 because they want our money. So, hey, if you're over 55, that doesn't excuse you. You know, a lot of you think, "Well, yeah, but I don't really have the right stuff to be a missionary, da, 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 da." Some of you I happen to know from driving around know a bit about agriculture. Did you know God could use your skills as a farmer to train national leaders in farming so that they can not only make a living but become church planters? God can use all kinds of people around the world among the nations. So if God's stirring your heart a bit, come see me after. I'd love to talk with you. Okay, so a few are called to go. The rest of us are called to serve in some way. We can do some of these things that I just talked about on a short-term basis, but there's other things that we can do. Like, anybody here know how to stuff an envelope? Right? I mean, that's really not rocket science, right? But here's the thing. Somebody like Dave and Stephanie, if they're deployed overseas, they can send emails back, but it's really hard to mail from overseas. But you could stuff envelopes for them while they're in the Dominican. I mean, there's stuff we could do if we have a heart for the nations. And our Converge team can help you figure out what those things are. But the last thing, and maybe the most important thing, obviously we can all give, but I'm not even going to talk about that. You guys already support us. The last thing we can do is pray. So here's my last story. A part of our team is to build assemblies, which we call consortia, of networks of churches, right? So for the Quechua people, we'll have a network of churches. For the deaf of Slovenia or whoever, we'll have a network of churches. Each of these networks now has a prayer coordinator. We think we're only months away from networking these prayer teams together such that somebody is praying for a gospel movement among the least reached people every minute of every day until Jesus comes. So if you're here today and you're a person of prayer, these guys can give you my email. Shoot me an email. We'd love to network you with these prayer coordinators so that you can be a part of this movement of prayer. You know, Togo and Benin, that place I talked about where slavery started, we're now praying for them every week in multiple time zones that the demons would flee, as we sang about earlier today, that finally the breakthrough would come. So I'm going to pray for you, and I would ask you to keep praying for me, because the devil is not happy with what we're up to, and our team faces spiritual warfare every day. But the good guys are winning. And one day soon, we're going to look up and the clouds are going to split. And Jesus is going to be back. So let's pray together. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, how you love New Hope Church. Thank you for these faithful ones who have gathered here this morning and for those who are watching online. Lord, thank you for their generosity. Thank you for their commitment to make disciples here in Worcester and throughout this surrounding area. God, thanks for their hearts for worship. God, I pray that you would give each person who's in the sound of my voice today a heart for the nations. God, let the ancient psalmist prayer become our prayer this day. Lord, let the peoples praise you. let all the peoples praise you. So God, if you're placing your call on somebody here today to be a global worker, God, let them not be afraid. You haven't called us to easy lives. You've called us to important ones. We pray for those who are being called to step forward. And for all the rest of us, God, let us not forget this quickly, but rather let us take the words of Peter to heart. You ask us what kind of people we should be. We should live holy and godly lives, Jesus, as we look forward to the day when you come, and as you said through Peter, and as we speed its coming. So, Lord Jesus, we pray, come. The bride says, come, Lord Jesus, we pray, in your powerful name. Amen.
Thank you, Kevin. You know, over the last couple of weeks and last year, I painted that picture of what our role can be. There's four roles when it comes to missions. There's missionaries, those who are sent, which Kevin just talked about, like 1% to 4% already have the gifts, the ability, and the calling, but they're maybe not taking action. If that's you, we want to be a part of your story. We want to help you take whatever steps are next, and Converge has an awesome system for you to plug into to learn what it looks like to become a missionary. So it's not like, boom, you sign up and you're shipped off somewhere, all right? There's a whole process you get to go through as you pray through that journey. So we talked about that, about missionaries, and then they're sending churches. We don't believe missionaries are sent by themselves. They're sent from a local body, and that's what New Hope is. We want to be that local body for us to send you out. Then we talked about encouragers. Missionaries need those that write letters to send encouragements, to pray for them all the time, and we've asked you guys to do that. And to do that for our missionaries, for Kevin and for the Connells. And we're grateful that you guys do that. Our church does that. And they get emails and encouragement from you in prayer. And then the last one was investors, those that give financially to help support those ministries. We are a part of God's work. I'm grateful for the reminder, Kevin. We need to hear stories like that. We need to hear where darkness is being pushed out, because we are a part of that story, whether we know it or not. We're investing in that, and we're seeing God work in powerful, powerful ways everywhere throughout the whole world. And a part of us wanting to do this series now is also to help us understand, let's not be so centered on our own little worlds that we forget the bigness of God across the world and how thankful we really ought to be that we have Pop-Tarts and bananas, right? Like that we are so taken care of where we live. And God has blessed us so much, and he hasn't done that just for our own good, but to bless others and bless those around the world, around the nations. And so I'm grateful that we are a church that does that and as a part of that. Now, I don't know, some of you here may not know the gospel of what even we're talking about, and some of you online may not even know. The whole point is this, is that Jesus was sent by his heavenly Father to this broken world to pay for our sin on the cross. He died, and when he died, he paid for our sin. Should have been us paying for it. And so our sin account got erased. Our sin debt was erased at the cross. And then he conquered death and came back to life. And in that moment, we then can have new life, and we receive in our account all the righteousness from heaven. That's the great exchange of the gospel. Our sin debt forgiven. All the righteousness and goodness and blessing from God now put into us. And if you haven't received that, it only comes in the person of Jesus Christ. And I would pray that you would take that step and invite him into your heart, into your life. Repent of your sin and say, I want God. I want Christ. I want forgiveness. And then thank him for it. That's the gospel. That's what we preach all the time here at New Hope, right? Those of you who know the gospel, can you say amen with me? That's the good work that we have experienced and received. That's the hope that we have in Christ alone. So this morning, this is what I want us all to do again. Everybody grab your phone. All of you online, you're probably already on your phones. Everybody grab your phone for me. If you have a phone that can get online on the internet, okay? Grab that right now. Open up your browser and go to mynewhope.tv/global, all right? mynewhope.tv/global. I'll say it one more time for those of you online. mynewhope.tv/global. Now there you're going to see our missionaries. You're going to see Kevin's picture. You're going to see the Connells. You're also going to see Compassion International, which is how we engage personally. that you can individually be engaged in making a difference in somebody's life. Pulling that Compassion's mission is to pull children out of poverty in the name of Jesus. They're giving them a path up and out and giving them Jesus in the process. And so we've partnered with Compassion in the Dominican Republic to sponsor kids in a specific center in La Romana, the Dominican, in a very, very poor, very, very impoverished part of the country. We have already, as a church, sponsored nearly 60 kids in this one Compassion center. And they have 16 kids right now that need sponsors. And I'm calling us as a church to step up and to sponsor these kids, because what then that does for you personally, now you have a personal kid that you're going to be writing to, you're going to be praying for. It gives you a personal relationship in missions. Not just they're out there somewhere. No, you know them. You know their story. And the investment is only $38 a month to sponsor this child to have spiritual training and education, to have after-school programming. And during this COVID season, they're doing all that they can do to bless these families that are connected to these Compassion centers. And so they're receiving things that other kids are not able to get in these communities. So I'm challenging our church to step up individually and click on that link on that page where the Compassion is, and you'll see those kids' faces. Now, I counted last night, there were 15 kids, so somebody sponsored somebody. But that means there's 15 kids that still need somebody to give them a path up out of poverty into the hope of Christ. And so I'm encouraging us as a church, pray about it and then click. Pray about the kid and then click on their names and start to sponsor them for the cost of Pop-Tarts and bananas for a month. Out of our own pockets, we can bless a kid and give them way more than what we could ever imagine. So we're encouraging our church to take that step and do that. We're going to continue to support Kevin, continue to support the Connells. We want you to sign up for their email list so you know what's going on. You get the updates every month if you do that with those links on that page on mynewhope.tv/global, and get their newsletters and pray for them and encourage them every single week. Now, I'm going to pray over us. And my prayer is going to be about obedience. It's good for us to hear things, but if we do nothing with it, we have done nothing for the gospel. It's when we do something that we're actually living out the gospel that we've received. And so would you pray with me and let God speak to each of us? God, I'm grateful that Kevin could be with us this morning. I'm thankful for his heart, his passion, his willingness to step out into the enemy's territory and preach the good news, to support churches and global workers all across this world, and to help create these networks so that we can reach these least reached, unreached people groups all throughout this world. I pray, God, that you would use us at New Hope to continue to be a part of that story. I pray for those who are called to be sent, that you will just break their hearts right now, God, in the name of Jesus, that they will have an unsettledness each day, because you're calling them into something else. And help them to walk in obedience to take that step on whatever that is, letting us know, letting me, letting Kevin know that they're feeling called. I pray for all of us to take a step, whether it's sponsoring a child or sending an encouraging note or praying or giving, whatever it might be, that we would be obedient to your calling by the power of your Spirit. And help us live out the gospel, the good news that you've given us, the hope that we have been receiving. Help us to live like Christians who have hope in this hopeless world that we're living right now. Let us look different than what's posted in the news and social media. Let us be countercultural in such a way that people wonder what's different. And we know it's Jesus that's different in us. So I pray that over our church, a blessing over us to live it out. And it's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen.